So, Kyle, one of the things that we at KUAF provide to our listeners are PSAs.
Public service announcements.
Right, right.
Yes.
If you have an event or something, you can, you know, email our operations manager, Pete Hartman, and we'll read it on the air.
Dozens of times.
Dozens of times.
Yes.
So in my 2 years or so of reading public service announcements, there have been a number of them that call for participants in studies.
Yes, if you are someone who is at least 21, who drinks so many drinks a day and experiences social anxiety.
Right. Or if you've experienced a traumatic event and you smoke cigarettes.
Right.
Well, so I got curious. I'm like, what is this all about? Why are they conducting these studies?
And what are they
doing
finding
this?
Out? Right.
Right. And, well, yeah, what's it for? So I contacted one of the groups at the University of Arkansas that's behind these studies. There are a couple of different labs, but one of them is the Intervention Sciences Laboratory, which is part of the Department of Psychology. And Dr. Matt Feldner is the director. He's also a professor in the psychology department. So he came in and he told me. He started our conversation by telling me what the Intervention Sciences Laboratory does.
What we're really interested at the broadest level is trying to understand post-traumatic stress disorder. Primarily, we also have an interest in panic disorder. And we want to understand it so that we're better able to treat it and prevent it. And we approach it from a number of different angles. And a lot of these different studies have approached it from some of these different angles. One piece I'm really interested in is the types of things that co-occur with PTSD and with panic. So one area is actually the overlap between those two. You often see panic attacks among people with PTSD. I'm also interested in how various health behaviors relate to PTSD. So, for instance, problem sleeping.
Could some of those sleep problems maybe be like nightmares?
Absolutely. Nightmares is considered by some to be central to PTSD, and certainly a lot of people suffer from them. And people can develop a fear of actually going to sleep, and so we'll work very hard to avoid going to sleep. And sometimes that avoidance can take the shape of substance use. So really all of these problems are very intertwined in creating a complex problem that we understand to a certain degree, but there's a long way to go.
When we say substance use, are you referring to, prescriptions, things that people have been prescribed by their doctors, or self-medicating through drugs and alcohol?
Yeah, we're more so interested in the latter in my lab. Certainly the prescription drug misuse is an area in need of greater study. And in fact, some of the folks over in the Department of Psychological Science are studying prescription drug misuse. We've focused more on alcohol use, alcohol dependence, alcohol abuse, nicotine also, the role of smoking in coping with the stress that comes along with these sorts of anxiety-related problems, and also kind of trying to understand how withdrawal from these substances can affect the anxiety disorders.
We hear a lot about PTSD now because of veterans coming back from war. But people can have post-traumatic stress syndrome from other experiences in life as well, correct?
That's right. That's a great point. There's been a lot of needed attention devoted to PTSD because of some of these recent military conflicts, and there's great work going on in the VA to understand PTSD and to improve our treatments of it and really to prevent the development of it in the first place. But yes, PTSD can stem from what we would refer to as a traumatic event, which is essentially when someone feels threatened and then along with that experiences an intense and negative emotion. It might be fear, might be helplessness, something along those lines. So yes, we've been doing a significant chunk of work focused on sexual assault recently. We're interested in kind of the constellation of emotions that come up during an assault, but then also those that tend to sort of haunt people afterwards, and have also been doing some work with veterans as well and some of the National Guard around here.
This not necessarily a silly question, but maybe a silly roundabout way to get to the question. So I've been watching season 2 of Downton Abbey. And that takes place, you know, in the 19-teens. Uh-huh. And there's a character who clearly has PTSD from a World War I experience. And how old is PTSD? I mean, I understand, I mean, like the actual disorder probably goes back, but when was it first called
Yeah, that's a great question. It really, the short answer is about 1980. But people started to describe the characteristics of this problem before that, before it technically became a disorder in the diagnostic and statistical manual that psychologists use to diagnose psychopathology. But it's been around, obviously, a lot longer than that.
Earlier, you mentioned, I believe, the VA and maybe your studies and stuff as well, trying to find ways to prevent PTSD. How can you prevent?
Great question. Great question. It's not easy. As I've sort of alluded to, it's a complex constellation of behaviors and problems. And therefore, preventing it is very difficult. There have been a number of different approaches to trying to prevent it, some more successful than others. One thing that is being focused on right now is resilience training and trying to prepare people for the types of experiences they might encounter in combat, for example. And they might focus on preventing the sorts of problems with thinking about the event that can happen to people after a traumatic event. So, for instance, a common one is it was my fault. Maybe the assault was my fault, or losing my friend in combat was my fault. And so preparing people for those kinds of thoughts. But we have a long way to go before we have really very highly effective prevention programs for PTSD, and it's something that I really hope to continue focusing on as I move forward.
So a few minutes ago you mentioned DOD, the Department of Defense. Yeah. Did your center receive a grant?
I've been involved in a couple of DOD-funded projects, that's right. There was one project where we were trying to work with couples where in this particular grant, the male was a veteran or a national member of the National Guard who had PTSD. And what we were trying to do was bring the couple in and treat them as a couple to try to, in addition to treating the PTSD, also try to improve the quality of the marriage. And most recently, the one that we're just currently getting off the ground, I'm also involved in. It's a project where the principal investigator is in Tulsa at the Laureate Institute for Brain Research, where they're doing a lot of really interesting brain research. We are trying to use some really cutting-edge technology to provide people with PTSD, again, veterans or members of the National Guard, in this DOD-funded study, information about activity in their brain, providing them with feedback about amygdala activity, and using that feedback to try to train them to get better at controlling it.
As I mentioned, we read PSAs kind of to help you out to find, or to help the graduate students out to find participants in some of these studies. I'm curious to know if that's successful. Do you get a response from those?
It is successful, yeah, very successful. It's been really helpful as we've progressed. And we tend to get really great response rates from listeners. And interestingly, we use a lot of different recruitment methods, posting flyers, announcements in classes on campus, announcements, radio announcements. We've used some television ads in the past as well. And we find that actually listeners to KUAF are particularly invested in moving the research forward, more so than some of the financial compensation we might offer, which obviously isn't something one can make a career on, but we try to compensate people for their time. But listeners of KUAF come in to help people, and so it's actually been really eye-opening to see that sort of commitment and dedication.
And when you conclude a study, I mean, are there research papers involved when you're finished? I mean,
Yep, there are. We really work hard to disseminate the findings that we have to make sure that we're not just impositioning people to come in for our own curiosity's sake. We disseminate in a number of different ways. We do publish the work out of the laboratory. The graduate students and I and some of our collaborators are very active in that domain. We also present at conferences, a few different conferences that are both national and international in nature. I also will be delivering a lecture on some of this work at an international conference coming up this summer. So we're very active in making sure that others are hearing about this work and ideally replicating the work on their own and extending it, because a lot of what we do, we see as the start to large programs that need to continue to move forward if we're really going to understand and be able to intervene with some of these complicated problems.
All right. Well, if people are interested in what you do at the laboratory, they can find out more at your website.
That's right. They can find out more through the Department of Psychological Science website through the University of Arkansas, where they'll find a link to both my lab website, which can be found via a Google. It's the Intervention Sciences Laboratory. And on there, there's quite a bit of information about some of the work that we've published, some of our ongoing activities in the externally funded domain, and there's also information there about ongoing research studies, and if they're interested in participating in any of those studies, we'd certainly love to have them call the laboratory. The number there is 479-575-5811, and there they can reach one of our research assistants who will determine if any of the studies are, they might be eligible for any one of the ongoing studies.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
I don't think so. I appreciate you having me, and it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Feldner.